A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 18th August 2024 Sunday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the Heart Sutta, second edition, as compiled by me. We are at lesson 10, page 60. As usual, let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo a mi to fo. Namo Amitabha, Namo Amitabha, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Milafo, Namo Yausifo, Namo Yausifo, Namo Yausifo, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Pusyam Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Tisawang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Samasambuddho Bhagava, Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo, Dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalisu Atraha Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhammasavanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasavanankalo Ayang Badanta Dhammasavanankalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditatbu Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Yaditam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakhineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punyam Ketam Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. So lesson 10, meditation class conducted by me at Wu Ping Ching Se on the 22nd of April 2012, which is 12 plus years ago. Our Sunday class session is always from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Okay. Now I will go direct into our this recap. Recap and emphasize on the previous lesson. So 1.1. Bertil's reminder on heedfulness. So at that time, the sharing stressed a lot on the importance of heedfulness. So heedfulness is called apamada in Pali. To be heedful is to be ever mindful, constantly meditative. So to achieve that, we need to train our mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then when we are in the state of stability of inner mindfulness, that is, we are ever mindful, then we can use this mind to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the cultivation of the three types of wisdom, especially the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, with particular emphasis on Noble Eightfold Path. Whereas according to the Buddha, Noble Eightfold Path is the meditation, because the Buddha stated clearly, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So our purpose of cultivation of the Dhamma is to develop wisdom to realize the enlightenment so that we can end all suffering. So Noble Eightfold Path is technically, by default, the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The reason being, within this Noble Eightfold Path, there are eight very noble path factors that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. At the time of the Buddha, enlightened beings are called noble beings, where they are very noble in all aspects of life. They have right view, right communication. That's why they develop the appropriate right thought, right speech, right action, and right living, the right way of living their life. Then after that, they will constantly develop the four right effort to continue to train themselves and to purify themselves. So this is how all this can be developed. Then the other last two path factors are Samasati and Samasamadhi, leading to heedfulness. So unless you have the embodiment of these eight noble path factors, you cannot claim to be an enlightened being, because enlightened being must have all these qualities. And these are the qualities of an enlightened being that is very noble in all aspects of their understanding of life. All of the nature's law that governs life and existence, the Pancha Niyama, the three right view with regards to the spiritual law that governs life and existence. Then they are very noble in their way they approach life, in the way they understand life and live life. So they have right thought leading to right communication, means not only right action, right speech, but right communication. Because nowadays, we can also communicate through email, through speeches, or through the way we do things, our action, etc. Then apart from that, we also can have voice messaging nowadays. So all these are the various skillful means or noble qualities of an enlightened being who can do all this. So to be heedful, you have to be ever mindful and constantly meditating, means constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path to perfect yourself. But before that, the cultivation involves developing the wisdom to awaken. So developing the wisdom to awaken, we need mindfulness, heedfulness, awareness. Without that, you cannot. Without that, you will be stuck in thought-based meditation, which is basically knowledge-based, thought-based, via memory. So all this, as we develop the understanding, we develop clarity of understanding to prevent us from being deluded by what is commonly accepted by what people believe is the truth, and follow people's instruction, follow their method, techniques, and even so-called teachers, thinking that by doing all those things, you are meditating. So without proper understanding, we can end up being deceived or gullible, in the sense that we take things for granted. We tend to believe things easily. Without wisdom, without understanding, this thing can happen. So now I read this sentence again, the reminder I give. So Brother Dale or me usually remind you all not to be heedless anymore, but instead strive on with heedfulness and diligently making use of this great golden window of opportunity to cultivate and gain liberation from birth and death, when the Buddha Sasana or his dispensation is still around. This is because, according to Lord Buddha, it is indeed very difficult to be born as a human being. And even more rare and difficult to be born during the era of the Buddha Sasana and to encounter the Buddha Dhamma. Ibayana or Mandarin, they say Fo Fa Nan Wen. So Zen Sen Nan De Fo Fa Nan Wen. Then the next phrase is, since we are so blessed, so lucky, Zen Sen Nan De Jing Yi De, even though to be born as a human being is very rare, but we are already able to receive such condition to be born as a human being. So that itself is a great blessing. Then, Fo Fa Nan Wen, Jing Yi Wen, even more rare and difficult, is to encounter the Buddha Dhamma. So all these are very, very rare indeed. But yet, we are not only born as a human, we have been born in an era where the Buddha Sasana is still around, where the teaching can still be found. So if you already fulfill the two most rare, or what we should say, unique condition to really develop the cultivation, to realize the enlightenment, we should go all out to strive on with heedfulness to realize the enlightenment. That's why the Buddha continued, he said. He advised all the monks before he passed away, or his parinibbana. He said, do strive on with heedfulness. Apamadena sampadeta. So here I say, so do follow the advice of the Buddha to strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore. For this great window of opportunity, or great golden window of opportunity, is indeed very, very, very rare. So please do not be complacent to let this opportunity slip away, for you will truly regret how foolish you were if you were to let it slip by. Because the next window of opportunity for you to have such condition to be born as a human being again and to be born during the sasana, first, it may take very long. It could be a very, very long time later. It can be hundreds of millions of eons later. And by then, you also may not understand what you have become. Some might have deteriorated and fall back so significantly that they can never be born as a human being again during the next asana. Yeah. So these are the understanding. That's why when there is an unique opportunity to be born as a human being during the Buddha Sasana, and yet you have the condition to encounter the right Dhamma, which is also very rare, you should go all out to make the appropriate adhittan or vows or aspiration to go this way, to take the Bodhisattva way and establish your cultivation firmly, plant the seed of Bodhi, and determine to strive on with heedfulness to stabilize the understanding, the Bodhisattva vow. Okay, then I read on. The earlier Heart Sutta short note that emphasized the following important basic essential teachings of the Buddha are more than enough to help you all to develop your cultivation. So this is the part I have been emphasizing all along since the year 2012. I said, all these Heart Sutta short notes that we have prepared and compiled into a book, they are already very complete. To understand the basic essential teachings of the Buddha, they are very complete. That's why I put here as more than enough to help you develop your cultivation to realize enlightenment. So here I summarize again what are the important cultivation that cultivator of the way must develop. First, to understand the importance of cultivating the five spiritual faculties, where these are the mind state that can enable the cultivator of the way to understand spiritual teachings. And at the same time, when you have them, it will root out the five opposite mental hindrance that will hinder the cultivator from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So this one is very important. So what are the five spiritual faculties? They are Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. And all these five, you can develop them with the understanding of who the Buddha is, and how unique a being he is, and how special a teaching he has realized and shared with the world. And because of that, you will develop the Saddha leading to the Virya, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Well, he is a very unique being. You can say when he was born into this world, he is the wisest and most virtuous living being ever to be born because of his cultivation and perfection. So to have him as your teacher, as your guide, is truly a great blessing. That's why your respect and gratitude towards him and his teaching will be very strong and very stable, unwavering. His teaching is so unique that it not only can develop, enable you to develop the wisdom to understand life, it can also enable you to have the wisdom and understanding to live life so that you don't have to suffer anymore, free from all suffering. You can end all suffering. This wisdom is truly unique. And once you have developed the enlightenment, the awakening, you will understand life completely, and you will know how to live life and have the condition to realize the noble life. Whenever you choose to come or you have to come. Then with that faith, Sada Virya, it will drive you to cultivate, to develop mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. That's how the spiritual faculty of Sada Virya lead to Sati and Samadhi. With Sati and Samadhi, you can see things as they are, to insight into phenomena and to awaken, to realize the truth. You can use it to silently observe the reality, to develop the wisdom to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. All these are important understanding that will enable you to break your wrong view, your sakkayadity, your self-delusion, your ignorance, so that you can clearly understand what existential world is, the phenomenal world of consciousness, its universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, leading to your wisdom that enable you to break free from sakkayadity, self-delusion, having wrong view, having ignorance. So all these are very beautiful. Then with that wisdom, the last spiritual faculty will come to be. So the five spiritual faculty is of prime importance. Once you develop that, you will progress well. Like the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful never die. So the moment you are heedful, you are home. You are destined for enlightenment. That's why it's very important. Then the next cultivation is to understand the three important right views with regards to the law of karma, law of mind, and law of truth. So once you have this right view, you will follow the advice of the Buddha, which is Dhammapada verse 183. The Buddha proclaimed, Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta paridottapanam etang buddhana sasana. So the advice is the same for all Sammasambuddha. Sabba, all, papasa, evil, akaranam, all evil has to be avoided. And this is very deep in this meaning. You will understand as you progress along the path of cultivation why not only avoid evil but avoid all evil. Because this is coming. Then after that, kusala, wholesomeness. Wherever there is condition for you to arise, the goodness, the wholesomeness, to cultivate kusala karma, meritorious action, speech and thought process, you must develop them. So all evil to be avoided, cultivate wholesomeness, leading to the perfection of them all. Then purify your mind, sacitta, citta is mind, dapanam. So cultivate this mind, purify this mind, so that you can awaken to the teaching, to realize the enlightenment. And this is basically cultivating Noble Eightfold Path, Sila, Samadhi and Panya. So advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil is to keep your precept, Sila, in place. Then when your spiritual faculty, your sati and samadhi is in place, you will have your ability to see clearly what constitutes evil and what constitutes wholesomeness. Then you can cultivate wholesomeness and avoid all evil. To keep your precept, you must have sati, mindfulness. To develop the understanding of what constitutes evil, and when you see them with your silent mind, via your direct seeing, you can apply the four right effort to purify them, and also the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech, and unwholesome action. So all these are the understanding. So following the advice of the Buddha, after developing the understanding of the three right views, especially the law of karma, then, as explained earlier, see the importance of cultivating heedfulness. That's why you need to stabilize your pure awareness nature within. That's the reason why recently I have been teaching only awareness-based meditation. No more wasting time with the thought base and all those things. Of course, you want to apply your method and technique that you are familiar with, you can. But ultimately, you must understand what is important is heedfulness. So whatever method, techniques, or teaching that people teach you are just initial skill for me to train your mind to be aware. If you don't do that, you will deviate. You will end up in focusing, concentrating, one-pointedness, thought-based meditation. So all these are very important understanding. So importance of cultivating heedfulness means understanding the real meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is awareness-based, sati-based, leading to heedfulness, and not all the thought-based meditation that leads to energy field, concentration, samatha, energy field type of cultivation that usually deviate into psychic ability and very strong energy field being developed. Then the next part is number 4. Importance of understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, especially the second turning. So this second turning, which is the contemplative wisdom born of constant Dhamma contemplation, Dhamma investigation, Dhamma reflection, and inquiry. That is to constantly investigate the Dhamma via the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, to develop your own understanding via Chittamaya Panya, to stabilize your understanding born of the first turning. So Chittamaya Panya is the wisdom born of the second turning. So this constant contemplation is very important. Then I continue to explain. To develop this Chintamaya Panya, one need to carry out constant inquiry, reflection, and contemplation on the Buddha Dharma or Noble Truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. And not just believing what the Buddha said, and then committing them to memory and storing this so-called Dhamma up as knowledge. For the true Dhamma and wisdom is an understanding, and it is a living Dhamma. It is alive. A living Dhamma that can be experienced and understood from moment to moment. Whereas knowledge and memory are of the past, very rigid and fixed, making you very rigid in your views. So this part, make a note of it. The difference between the true living Dhamma and thought-based knowledge Dhamma. The two are very different. Maybe I read the last paragraph again, because it's not too soft. So to develop this Chintamaya Panya, one needs to carry out constant inquiry, reflection and contemplation on the Buddha Dhamma, on Four Noble Truths, as proclaimed by the Buddha. And not just we are believing what the Buddha said and then committing them to memory and storing this so-called Dhamma up as Dhamma knowledge. For the true Dhamma and wisdom is an understanding, and it is not a knowledge. It is alive, means a living Dhamma that can be experienced and understood from moment to moment. Whereas knowledge and memory are of the past. They are most of the time very rigid and fixed, making you very rigid in your views and approach to life. That's why knowledge gives rise to duality. They tend to argue about right and wrong, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome. So duality limits the understanding. Whereas if you can transcend duality, then you understand truth. You can see things as they are. Like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Means no right, no wrong. That's how I explained before. When people talk about right and wrong, it's their individual way of perceiving a situation as right or wrong, good or bad. These are conventional reality, which are not ultimate truth. If you have the wisdom and the understanding, then you will come to that very clear conclusion. Everything is just the way it is. What is the reality. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. What is the meaning? The meaning is, everything that happens in life, every moment, every instant, is already fixed. It cannot be otherwise. But the way we perceive it can be very different. Because each and every one of us, we use our own views and opinion and conditioning to perceive it. Our belief system to look at it. Our knowledge to look at it. But when you have the wisdom, you will come to know that this is the reality. Suchness, ta-ta-ta. Means what? Thing is just the way it is, like the Buddha said. Condition like that, things will be like that. How can we make use of this understanding to explain life? Means, the world is the world. People are just the way they are. Means, everything is just the way it is. Deluded people do deluded things, say deluded things. And they are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. You are according to them. They are still right. But according to you, you don't like what they do and you say it's wrong. So, all this which the world creates through their convention, means relative truth, has got no meaning. We are right according to who? You never ask. According to the individual's way of perceiving and interpreting it. Whereas if you have the wisdom, thing is just the way it is. Like the Zen, the third type of seeing, Kan San Yu Si San. Whether it's mundane seeing or supramundane seeing, they are just the way they are. Deluded people, non-enlightened people, they see with mundane eye, mundane seeing. That's why they will describe all those things. They say there is a mountain. Ah, it's a mountain. So what? But that is such a seeing. When you have such a seeing, you can accommodate both the duality. There is basically no right and no wrong. That's why wisdom enable one to transcend duality. When you have true wisdom, you are not rigid. You don't have to argue with people. the situation can be understood clearly. Then when condition already fixed, which is nature's condition, and you wanting your way, which is not according to nature's condition, then you will suffer, like the Buddha said, under the First Noble Truth, Seven Reality. When one cannot get what wants, when you cannot get what you want, suffering will be the result. When things don't go your way, when your expectation in life are not met, you will develop suffering. But this is delusion, ignorant, craving. Like the Buddha explained, condition like that, things will be like that, cannot be otherwise. Everything evolve and follow nature's condition. Everything manifests, arise and pass away in accordance with nature's law. So when you have the wisdom to comprehend all this, to understand all this, then you develop the wisdom to be at peace with all situations. That's why ability to be at peace with all situations is what the real wisdom is all about. It's not about trying to be right, arguing with people, no point. Always remember, thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. That is the reality. Yeah. Okay, we go back to the notes. Heart Sutta Lesson 10. We continue with the commentaries, page 11 to 15. That is Xuan Hua's commentary. What are deviant views? So according to Master Xuan Hua, deviant views means deviated or wrong and devious views, born of sakyadity or self-delusion, that can condition one's suffering and misery. So understanding wrong view is very important, or deviant view is very important. Means not according to the spiritual law, the right view that governs life and existence. Like the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang and anatta. You cannot see or realize that truth, those universal characteristics. So to you, everything in this world, existential world, appear so real, so permanent, as if you can own them, you can have them, and you can cling on to them. But then, when you see with the direct seeing, you realize that they are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. No reality. They come and go, dependent on condition they arise. And when condition cease to be, they cease to be. So when you saw all this clearly with your mindfulness and awareness and heedfulness, then you will not be deluded. You will not cling on to things and want to own them and have them. Then you will understand that your form and mind is also dependent on originating. Condition arising, cause of law, is not a permanent unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. That is real delusion. Then you think all the beautiful mind states or pleasant sense experience that we come to experience, they are like very real, very permanent, then very beautiful. But not knowing that whatever that arise, when causes and conditions cease to be, they will cease to be, means the prevalence of change, born of the characteristics of impermanent, will enable us to know that you cannot cling on to things and always wanting to be forever young, forever happy, beautiful, because they go the way of nature. They will evolve. Like our physical body, they go the way of nature. It will get old, it will get sick, and finally die, deteriorate. You can never say or command this physical body, or anything for that matter. Don't change. Don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. That is not a reality. The reality is, it goes the way of nature. It's subject to causes and conditions, and it will move and operate in such a way. That's why dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, empty, no reality. So see this clearly, then you are not deluded, not deceived. Then you will not cling on to good state of mind, happy moments and all those things. Of course you can recall through memory. That is when you want to recall them. But know that they are mind-made, condition arising, causal phenomena. As real as it can be, is only within the moment. Split second is the end gone. Split second is the end gone. So how real can life be? See the illusionary world. Not a permanent, unchanging condition world that you can cling on to, hold on to, and grasp on to. Even your own form and mind don't belong to you. How can you own things and have things? Maybe for the moment, when conditions are there, appear you own as if it belongs to you. But sooner or later, conditions cease to be. When your entity erased, how can you own anything? He no you, he no me. So all this need wisdom to realize. Then we will not have wrong view. We will not have delusion. We will not cling on to this entity, the human being, as what we are. Then this sakayadity, they will break down. Once sakayadity is being shattered, then your views, your understanding transform. You no longer cling on to that fine aggregate of form and mind, thinking that is who you are, what you are. So all these are beautiful understanding. Then what is affliction? This is also very important. Affliction is mental suffering, conditioned by one or all of the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So normally affliction, without mind, you won't feel it. But because you have a physical body with the consciousness trapped inside, that's why karma can arise. And you will feel it. Like the physical body, as it grows old, gets sick, and about to die, the consciousness that is trapped inside, if it is not enlightened, you have not develop the wisdom, you will attach, you will cling, you will grasp, and you will worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. But you have awakened, all these delusions cease to be, and you will know the physical form is not you, it goes the way of nature. That's why in the Heart Sutta it's very clear, in true emptiness, none of this exists. No one born, no one die, no one sick. All this, even the Four Noble Truths, old age, sickness and death, they don't exist in true emptiness, the unconditioned mind. So realizing all this, understanding all this is very important. So affliction can only arise when there is ignorance, when there is delusion. When there is no more delusion, thing is just the way it is. Your consciousness trapped inside, whatever that arises within the form and mind, you will experience it. But you are not deluded. You can stay above it. It has got no power over you. That's why attachment comes from delusion, from ignorance, especially Sakkayaditti. Then 2.3, the unmoving mind of true suchness means that is your true mind. Because Shenhua mentioned this, the unmoving mind of true suchness. Like I said, the first thing to come out is the pure awareness. The pure awareness nature is a nature, it's not a being. It does not change, it's a primordial. It was already like that from the very beginning. That's why it's called true suchness. That is your true mind. Whatever that arises from there is the depending or dependent originating mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. So all this, when you have sati developed, stability of awareness within, you see them. You see the manifestation, the creation. That's why when the Buddha mentioned mind is a forerunner of all things, he referred to the mundane mind that arises from that true mind, the true nature. So I read again. The unmoving mind of true suchness is your true mind with the enlightenment factor of samadhi and upekkha or equanimity. So when that samadhi make it unwavering and collected, then the upekkha, born of wisdom, that is the one that will prevent this mind from reacting and stirring. That's why when there is no thought, no stirring, your original mind returns. That is why the true mind with the enlightenment factor of samadhi and upekkha, it will have the ability to stay in that state. Whereas without samadhi and upekkha, with the wisdom, it will stir, it will react, it will create the mundane thinking, the heedless thinking, it will create all the movement or mind state based on your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, etc. It will stir and react to sense experience. Then it will take what they call birth, becoming. You become what your thought condition you to believe in. So all this mind state, whether it's happiness, joy, emotion, anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, they are not intrinsic within your true mind. They are dependent originating mind state, condition arising, causal phenomena, non-intrinsic. That's why you must see them. Then you realize, hey, anger is not me, fear is not me, hatred is not me, all these emotions are not me. They are dependent originating mind state, born of delusion, following the law of paticca samuppada, dependent originating. Condition arising, the dwelling. So when you see this, you awaken, then you become different. Then there was a question which is very good. 2.4. Why in the four foundation of mindfulness, the conclusion there, the Buddha state, why did the Buddha specifically state the duration of 7 years maximum or 7 days minimum to realize the enlightenment of at least an anagami if one were to maintain this four foundation of mindfulness or the four arousing of mindfulness or the satipatthana practices as taught by him? So here I answer. I remember this question was asked by Sister Chui. And in fact, a lot of Buddhist practitioner or cultivator, they cannot understand this. And most people didn't really question it. But at that time, remember, one of our Kayamita sister Chui, he questioned, yeah. Then I answer. I read from the sutta first, the first part of the answer. The sutta say, the four arousing of mindfulness or four foundation of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha is very unique. We are according to the Buddha. These four arousing of mindfulness or foundation of mindfulness is the only way. That's why he used the word ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. The only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief, and for reaching the right path, for the realization of nibbana. Then the Buddha continued telling the bhikkhu, verily, O bhikkhu, he said, should any cultivator of the way or any person maintain these four foundations of mindfulness or the four arousing of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, for 6 years, for 2 years, let alone a year, for 7 months, 2 months, 1 month, half a month, or 1 week. Then by him again, one of the two fruition is proper to be expected. Wisdom or knowledge in the here and the now, or if some form of clinging is still present, the state of a non-returner or anagami. So this is the assurance given by the Buddha. So it is worthwhile to give it a try, isn't it? Just sacrifice a maximum of 7 years to cultivate the satipatthana, and your future existence, should you choose to come, is all set and taken care of. There is no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, sorrow or sadness, and suffering, etc. from then onward. Worth the while, isn't it? The other reason is, basing on the Avijja Sutta, which I have taught you all, the 10 steps in the Avijja Sutta, cultivating the four arousing of mindfulness is step 8. And this step can only be effectively cultivated when one has completed the cultivation of the first 7 steps, means 1 to 7. Especially step 4, which is Yoniso Manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Yoniso is wisdom. Manasikara is attention. Then step 5 is sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Step 6 is sense restraint. Then with sense restraint, step 7 will arise. The 3 way of right conduct, where you are assured of realizing at least a sotapan or a sakadagami. So strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore. So that is the reason why when you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, you already at least a sotapan. And most people, by the time you hit step 7, the 3 ways of right conduct, you can manifest that. Because sense restraint refer to the sotapannaship level. When you cannot violate your 5 precepts already, the sense restraint. That's why they always tell you, the sotapan, they will not violate their 5 precepts. Then when you become a sakadagami, second stage of sin, you attenuated what they call sensual desire and ill will. When you can attenuate sensual desire and ill will, then you no longer affected by them. Your craving, positive and negative. Yeah. And because of that, you are able to cultivate not only sense restraint, you can never violate the three way of wrong action. That's how you cultivate the three way of right conduct. And when you can do that, most of the time, the cultivator of the way will have realized Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood. Then the Buddha also under the Satipatthana Sutta, he mentioned very clearly, after overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you can cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. So what is overcoming covetousness and grief? Covetousness is your sensual desire, your craving. Then grief is your anger, your hatred. So sensual desire, ill will, if you can attend to it, it means you have overcome covetousness and grief, which fulfill what the Buddha mentioned under the Satipatthana Sutta. After overcoming that, that's why after you have developed step 6 and 7, only you can go to step 8, which is cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness, or the four arousing of mindfulness. That's the reason why a lot of people didn't see those those very important pointers that the Buddha has prompted them in the sutta. After overcoming covetousness and grief, then only you can cultivate. But I realize a lot of cultivators of the way, they become gullible. They heard the sutta opening statement, Ekayano Bhikkhave Bhikkhu. This is the only way for the purification of being, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for arriving at the right path to realize the enlightenment. So they very eager to cultivate four foundations of mindfulness, not knowing that you have to break through first stage of sainthood and second stage of sainthood. Otherwise you can't. And to develop the four arousing of mindfulness or four foundations of mindfulness is not easy. But these are the, they call it arousing or foundation. You must develop your foundation, your mindfulness foundation. That's why the Buddha start with Kayanupassana. Kayanupassana is the first arousing of mindfulness. You have to anchor your mindfulness to your kaya. If you cannot do that, you cannot stabilize your mindfulness. That's why you have to develop it until very stable, until your mind enters sati. That's why under the four foundations of mindfulness, the first foundation, the Buddha said, you start with Kayanupassana, means mindfulness of kaya. Kaya, our bodily activity, the first foundation. So the first training is mindfulness of the in and out breath, anapanasati is it. So this one is mindfulness, it's not focusing, it's not feeling and other thing, it's mindfulness. So mindfulness on the breath, breathing in, away, breathing out, away. So this is how you develop stability of mindfulness. So the training of the mind to be aware is the first thing. Then stabilizing it so that it's ever mindful. Yeah. Then only you can experience piti sukhang. And finally, when the mind enters sati, you realize pasati. These are enlightenment factors. That's why you must start with that in the form of meditation. Then after that, the second category of cultivation is mindfulness of the four postures. The Buddha said, okay, now you continue your mindfulness training from your breath into the four postures, which are more easy. Because they are the basic posture. That's why the Buddha says, standing, aware, maintain awareness from inside. Then walking, aware. Then after that, sitting, aware. Lying down, aware. But there is another cultivation that cover the continuity of the four posture. That one is under the third category of cultivation. The Buddha call it sati sampajana, means you must cultivate mindfulness with clear comprehension of all action and all movement in the present moment. That's why in the sutta it's mentioned in the third category of cultivation, sati sampajana. He said, standing aware, looking forward aware, turning, bending, stretching aware, whatever action, movement in the present moment aware, even answering nature's call aware. So this is how, from that first foundation of mindfulness, you develop stability of daily mindfulness. Means not only the four posture, all action, all movement in the present moment. The other way to do it is anapanasati, or our four, what we call support to develop awareness-based meditation. So this four support is relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize this awareness. So instead of going around and do all the method, technique, or skillful means to train your mind to be aware, and finally come back to the same thing, stability or awareness, you might as well use the four support, especially the first three, to develop sati. And to develop sati, there must be no thought. That's why nobody meditating, nobody doing. Don't try to know, don't try to do. Yeah, all this doing and knowing is by the thought. When the thought is active, you cannot be mindful. That's why anapanasati is, you follow the instruction, breathing in, when your breath go in, your awareness follow as one, in harmony. So breathing in aware, breathing out aware. This verbalization also gone. You just breathe naturally until your awareness and your breath move as one. Then after that, you realize your stability of mindfulness develop. Initially, it's like long breathing, continuous breathing, means your mindfulness become continuous. Then if you are not careful, you can go into deep absorption of mindfulness. It make you very calm, very still, until you reach apana samadhi, then you become very, very mindful, continuous mindful, until you become so tranquil and so still that you want to stay inside. Because that peace that arises is very, very different, very soothing and very calm, very still. And you will go into the absorption until like completely no thought. Because that continuous mindfulness prevent the thought from arising. Then I remember when you can develop this continuous mindfulness, where I was doing the dynamic meditation also, I can shut off my senses. I was meditating middle of the night. Well, last time in the early day, I like to do that. Then when I reach this anapanasati, which is very stable and very calm, very still, when I went into apana samadhi, I realized my senses shut off, like I cannot hear anything. I was inside with clarity or awareness, but cannot live life on, cannot come out. Then the reason why I know is my house at that time, they didn't build the road bump outside my house. Later on, they complained they built the road bump. Then the racing motor and the car, middle of the night, no more. Last time, they used to have this one. Then when I was meditating, this motorbike and the car will come. Very loud. Then I realized when I was developing this anapanasati, then suddenly, when the sensors got shut off, there was no sound, completely also. Then I release it out, fully aware inside, then I release it out, the sound come back. That's how I come to know you and shut off the senses. Yeah. Then when your daily mindfulness become very, very stable, that one is in the midst of life, yeah. Then you develop another type of mindfulness which is not at the Appana Samadhi level. This one is at Upachara Samadhi, means excess concentration before you go into Appana Samadhi. Yeah. This is the mind state that you must be in so that your whatever five mental hindrances are not suppressed. Well, when you are in Appana Samadhi, even sound also cannot interfere. So these five mental hindrances, or they call it Pancha Nivarana, they are being suppressed. That's why they cannot come out. And you cannot test whether you are truly enlightened or not. But this is a conditioned state. Your mind is in a conditioned state, not a free mind. You should come out to Appana Samadhi as a free mind. Then if you can still maintain equanimity, born of wisdom, to be at peace with all situations, and that is the real Samadhi. Not the one that is in Samatha or one-pointedness or continuous absorption. So this one is a big difference. Then the analogy by the Buddha is the same. When you have a cup of clear water, with all the sediment down there, because you didn't stir that water, nobody disturbed it, the sediment is down there and look like clear, the water. Like the Balakat analogy, when the Buddha asked the disciple to collect the water. When the Balakat go over, it stir, the water is dirty. But when clear night, no Balakat cross, then the disciple bring back the water. The Buddha realized it's clear. That's why he asked the disciple, what do you learn from this? He said, our mind is the same. You don't stir, don't react, don't create all this movement. Then all the mental hindrances, they are down there, suppressed. Appear you are like enlightened, clear. But because you have not rooted them out, when there is condition for them to react and stir, to arise, they will arise. That's why a lot of people that do energy field, samatha-based or continuous mindfulness type of absorption meditation, they got trapped there. That's why in the early day I was also trapped there until I met Ajahn Yantra. Then I came out and developed the four foundations of mindfulness. Then only I connect back and recall the cultivation. That's how all this can be understood. Otherwise, it's not easy. Yeah? Okay, we go back to the notes. I have to end already. Do not believe what has been spoken, but instead investigate into all the Dhamma or truth as advised by the Buddha via constant reflection, contemplation and inquiry into all the Dhamma to fully understand the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Once you have developed the three types of corresponding wisdom, you will know how to free your mind and later share your understanding with others so that you too can be a blessing to all. Okay, I will read the last paragraph, then we stop there. As thought is respond to memory, listen to this carefully. So memory is thought-based, understand or not? Because thought is respond to memory. Without memory, there is no thought. So memory is thought-based and is of the past. Hence, when we cultivate based on memory, which is thought and knowledge-based, we cannot possibly realize a state which is beyond thought, beyond mind, or beyond time. Here it means psychological time, thinking. You cannot possibly realize a state that is beyond thought and beyond time. With knowledge, which is not wisdom, you tend to be rigid in your views, and you tend to use words, interpret them according to your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. You will also have the tendency to argue with people and perceive things as right and wrong. This is what duality is. So always remember, thought-based meditation, you go to the brain, the memory. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. That's why Jay Krishnamurti saw this, and he came out with this very beautiful phrase. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. About 30 years ago when I heard this, I say, he is a real one. He is damn good. How can he understand this at that time? That's why those who cultivate, they will know. You cannot act with memory. With memory is knowledge. All your accumulated experience, views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. And it includes your phobia, your whatever scars of memory, insecurity, fear, worry, anxiety. So all these are negative tendency, negative emotion, born of delusion. So acting according to memory is definitely not acting at all. Well, these are all negativity of memory, born of your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So how can you act with that? That's why Jay Krishnamurti was very wise. He saw this. But he couldn't use the Buddhist understanding to teach how to act. He just said, don't act according to memory, but he never teach you how else to act. But I realized through the Buddha Dharma, because the only way to act is as per the Buddha's advice. Act with noble eightfold path. Act with wisdom, right view, right understanding. That's why I saw the word yoni so manasikara. If that one don't come out and prompt you, you cannot act. You will stir your mind, you will react. That's why wisdom, born of the first turning, second turning, and third turning of the Four Noble Truths, are the three important wisdom. Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya, born of the direct seeing. So all these are the wisdom that arise, and it's connected to our nature, I realize. That's why you must act not from memory. Act from your understanding, your wisdom, born of Yoniso Manasikara, the first, second, third turning wisdom. So once you have that, then you can act. That's the reason why I always share with Yun Chan and some Kayamita in the early day. I say, wisdom you cannot learn. Wisdom is a realization and understanding. You have to insight into it, awaken, or through silent observation of what is, to awaken and to realize the truth. Then when you have, means you have, is in your nature. No need to remember. Then when the time comes, when situation arrive, that being will know how to act. But the understanding will surface, manifest. But it's not from memory. It's like acting according to that wisdom which has been realized is true action. So you act with wisdom. Act with right view, born of understanding, no longer rigid memory. Conditioned on that, things will be like that. The understanding will surface. Then the essential Dhamma, the powerful understanding of the Dhamma teaching as taught by the Buddha, they will all surface. Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, you will understand. Sabbe Sankara Dukkhang, you will understand. Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. You will understand. Then when the Buddha Chan taught the monk to recite all the Rupang Anicchang, Rupang Anatta, very clear the meaning, very beautiful. Then Vedana Anicchang, Vedana Anatta, followed by Sanya Anicchang, Sanya Anatta, then Sankara Anicchang, Sankara Anatta, all this become very clear. Then Vinyanang Anicchang, Vinyanang Anatta, then he summarized. Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. All this become very clear. Then that type of stability or understanding and wisdom will liberate your mind, will free your mind. So all this is what cultivation is all about. Okay, so we stop here. Huh? I mark this page, then we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Relax body and mind. Maintain awareness. Then stabilize it. Then for those who have already developed the stability of awareness, you can go to your heart and develop the fourth support trust. Okay, I will set the alarm. Then you can meditate on your own. You all can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay. Okay, now we will have our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have, you can ask regarding the meditation, the teaching, or how to apply the Buddha Dhamma to help you understand life and live life. Okay.
Amitabha, Bradio.
Yeah, Amitabha. Yeah.
Amitabha and Kayamitas.
Yeah.
Today, topic is very interesting. Also, that Brother Teo shared.
Yeah. About heedfulness and understanding of the meditative process.
Yes. Correct. So the let me see. Actually, all this sharing in Bhartio's Heart Sutra is very useful for me.
Yeah,
very useful for me. Even up to today, I mean, it's still very useful. And then every time when Brother Teo share or I read the book, it gave me a different level of understanding. Unlike last time.
Because the Heart Sutra, this one is actually a very difficult topic. And to penetrate the teaching, the cultivator who actually developed the understanding has to be very, very good. Then after that, when they share, it depends on the audience or the people listening. So those who already have the Dhamma understanding, when you listen, maybe you will get interested and develop the joy and all those things. But most people cannot. At that time, when I started the sharing during that time, I think 2012, it's not easy. It's not easy. So at that time, most Kayamita also may not have developed the understanding. Of course, there are a handful of them who are already progressing. But because of what happened at that time when I share, there were causes and conditions at every of this sharing for the teaching to come out. Then most of the time is the non-humans or the devas, the Dharma protector, and the other beings that are around. They want to understand. Then that sharing become different. Yeah. And most of the time when I share at that time, it was mainly, I think, for the initial teaching to be taught, the what they call superficial teaching of the Theravada tradition. And my intent and purpose at that time was to assimilate the Theravada tradition with the Mahayana tradition so that people can understand the teaching better. Then it turned out to be like quite beautiful in the sense that at that time there were a lot of questions that were asked. They are like meant to be. So what happened was, at that time, I was able to explain all this question and sharing so that it can be useful for cultivator of the way to understand. Then because of the constant sharing and repetitive question from those few topics, the teaching become integrated. Integrated. Then during that time, like you mentioned very true, a lot of Kayamita actually told me, after I go through the Heart Sutta teaching at the annual retreat, many of them understand it differently as I continue to share from the Heart Sutta book. Because at different time, different level understanding, they can only assimilate or take in that much. Not until they progress, and then the teaching become more in-depth, more detailed again. That's why not only you realize that every time you listen to the sharing, it's like different again. There is a deeper and more penetrative dimension. Especially the last two sharing where I explain this Heart Sutta over 8 months or maybe longer. During this sharing, I have the time, the luxury of time to actually explain and go into deeper understanding based on what the Kayamita has developed as progress. And because of that, when you listen, after you have developed some form of progress or understanding, you listen again, you have a better base to receive those deeper teaching. That's why you will start to experience all this, like you mentioned. Every time you listen to it, there are a lot of things to learn. And there are like a lot of new things inside there. Yeah. So all these are very normal because I have received a lot of feedback from our Kayamita who has attended all this Heart Sutta sharing. That's why, especially during the early days, they keep on telling me, Radio, is it every time I listen, every time I read, even song, they also same. The understanding become different level by level, level by level. They start to develop the deeper understanding and the transformation. Then last few years, I think, there are more people who can understand, and the condition is such that the Bodhisattva way also came out. Then I was able to move in and teach the higher teaching, to develop the sharing in a different manner. So the recent sharing, they try to cover a lot more than what I used to cover when it was only at the provisional teaching or Theravada tradition for the sainthood way level. That's why in the sharing I also mentioned, as far as the sainthood way, this Heart Sutta is very complete already. Then most of the later sharing after 2016, when the Bodhisattva way came out and more people developed the interest to understand that, then we went into the other sharing on the Mahayana Sutta, where we go into the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We also go to the Sutra of innumerous meaning, Wuliang Yi Qing. Then we also finally move into all the other relevant Mahayana Sutta that are useful to actually explain all this Bodhisattva way. Then coming back to the Heart Sutta sharing, we have to move together and in tandem. That's why you look at the Tuesday class. Tuesday class now is mainly on the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta, the Mahayana Sutta. Then Thursday class is a unique code. Then this Sunday class is meant for those who are interested in the Dhamma, and also for those who are going for the retreat. If you follow this Sunday class series, it will benefit you a lot, and it prepare you to receive the what they call important understanding when you attend the retreat. Well, at the retreat, we only have 8 days like this year. Normal year, we may have 9 days. So 8 to 9 days, I had to cover this whole book, no Heart Sutta. So when we are at the retreat, I will have to move quite fast. So there will be not much detailed explanation and Q&A in between. So it depends on the Kayamita that are attending and the Q&A session at that time and how the retreat's condition evolve. Then my sharing will be according to all those. That's why for those who actually have the faith and the spiritual faculty ready, and if you are really serious in the cultivation and you determine, they will benefit a lot, they will progress a lot. Like what happened to Pocheng over the last 4 to 5 years. When you became serious, then you go through the first series of Heart Sutta sharing where I taught it over 8 over months. That one benefited you a lot. Then when you are at the retreat, you not only can follow, in fact, before that, you already follow the instruction very clearly, then you progress. After you progress, you go to a retreat, you become different again. Then you come back, that understanding, that joy continue, and your cultivation continue to progress. Then over the years, especially the last 4 years, you have developed a lot of deeper and more penetrative understanding. So all this is what happened, and this is the reason why you, especially among all the Kayamita, you will find this sharing, like, although we sort of like continue to share from the same book, same teaching, but the explanation, the expression, the sharing, all different. And depending on the individual, they pick up at different level based on their faith, their understanding, and their progress. Okay, Pocheng, hopefully This one will help more people. Thank you for bringing this up.
Yes, Ratio, precisely that. I think because we take the Bodhisattva vows,
That
therefore
one also help.
the yeah, because of the Bodhisattva vows, right, it kind of like let the cultivator to penetrate a different
Yeah, different understanding.
I don't know how to explain that, but it's a different aspect of the cultivation that we experience, you know,
Yeah,
that is
definitely. Because when
beyond.
you take the Bodhisattva vow, you become very different. No, no. Well, the vow will transform you, and your understanding will move according to your vow and your nature's path, which is very unique. One. I heard a lot of people told me after they take the Bodhisattva vow, they become very different, and a lot of things happen to them. Very true. Yes.
Yes, that is the amazing part of the cultivation, you know, that when we take this Bodhisattva vow, thing happens. Initially we don't even know that it's happening, you know, but as we cultivate the first turning, second turning, right, when we hit the third turning, right, the Bodhisattva vows will bring us along, you know.
Yes.
Somehow I can penetrate things that I would say I never experienced prior to the Bodhisattva vows, so I would say. And
Yeah,
then when
because
I.
this Bodhisattva vow that I have formatted is very different, very unique. You can develop a lot of understanding from that. And this understanding, you vow to have them life after life whenever you come or choose to come. Then you also ask for forgiveness to break your karmic obstruction. There are three types of karmic obstruction. Retribution obstruction, activity coming obstruction, and affliction coming obstruction, then it is very comprehensive. Then you vow to seriously cultivate this Bodhisattva way to come to perfection of these 10 paramitas so that you can ultimately realize the forward enlightenment or Sammāsambuddhahood to fulfill the vow. So all this, they can actually drive you. Then the understanding of those who take the Bodhisattva way become very different. It's just like the three sets of Bodhisattva precepts, or what we call the pure precepts. They are more extensive than the usual Theravada tradition. In the Theravada tradition, we call it the advice of all Buddha. From there, we cultivate. Then, when it comes to the Bodhisattva way, we expand it for Bodhisattva. So that these three sets of pure precepts, they are more elaborate and deeper in their understanding and meaning. Then I also add in the miscellaneous vow, the additional vows that we can develop. Then when the book, the Bodhisattva Way, the blue book came out, that one also added in the understanding. Because the whatever causes and conditions that bring about the understanding, they were all shared in the four session that we did. And surprisingly, after I looked at the transcript, there are people volunteer to translate it. Then when I look at the transcript, how come it becomes so beautiful? It can become a book. That's why I compiled them into a book. It was actually from that four session of sharing. And that book is very, very important, very beautiful. It will revolutionize the understanding of how to go this way and take the cultivation in this way. In fact, how to develop the cultivation of the bodhisattva, we are seldom taught. They only heard about the bodhisattva vow, the four basic vow, and different great master practitioner, they have different set of vows. So what we normally heard is Mahayana, Amitabha Buddha, the 48 great vows, and Pusen, also the 10 great vows, then Kuan Yin, and all these great beings, they have different sets of vows which are very unique and very beautiful. Even Medicine Buddha, Ben Su, Pusen, Di Zhang Wang, all these great beings, they have their vows. So the Bodhisattva way basically, like I explained, how to go about cultivating it was seldom taught. Seldom taught. You can go and check up on the books and all those things. It is seldom taught. There is no real book that can concisely explain to you and teach you how to develop it. So it was because of my cultivation, the way I developed it was quite unique. That's why in the year 2008, Maitreya Buddha came, the nature came, and request my nature to come out to share these teachings. The two very important teachings. He called it the true Dhamma, Chen Fa. One is the preliminary teaching of the Theravada tradition to understand the true teaching of the Buddha, the Sainthood Way. Then after that, elaborate on the Bodhisattva way, the unique manner my nature has evolved and developed it. So all these are the causes and conditions that brings about the teaching in its present format and way. Then after the Heart Sutta and this Bodhisattva way book came out, together with the other transcript book, I realized that teaching has already been set and established. And like I explained in my last book, everything that I need to do or fulfill based on what Maitreya requested, I almost completed it. Now is the phase where new, deeper, more extensive Bodhisattva way cultivation. Like now, we are going into the understanding of the intricacy and complicated understanding of karma. Is more, much more detailed explanation of the three types of karmic obstacle that come with the karmic entanglement. Especially the retribution obstacle, followed by activity obstacle, and also the affliction obstacle. So last time I just mentioned them, then explain a bit. But now, because of causes and condition, I can go deeper into it and give you true real life example of what this thing is. And more people will develop the understanding. Then from there, the understanding of law and karma will become very different. No longer from the traditional Theravada tradition type of following the advice of the Buddha, sabbapassa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyodapanang etang buddhana sasana. So that phase of the teaching already over, now is going more deep into all those things. So we only last time highlighted to avoid all evil, you need to keep your precept. You are violating your precept constitute major evil. So this is the initial teaching from the Theravada tradition. Then how you need to develop mindfulness leading to heedfulness to effectively cultivate the precept, to have the ability to maintain the precepts. Then after that, you need to progress from avoiding all evil to purification of mind. And before purification of mind, you also need the mindfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. The wholesome part means develop merits, wholesomeness, virtue, and understanding. So all these are the initial teaching. Then the wisdom way following the purification of mind to develop the wisdom of the three turning, they are mostly the Theravada tradition at that time. That's why I went into the Suttamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya. Then after that, we move on to another phase. So now the deeper phase is understanding karma itself, the three types of karmic obstacles and how it works and the operation of it. Then going deeper into the Bodhisattva with extensive understanding of the other teaching, especially the Paticca Samuppada, the working of the mind and all those things. So all this, we are going to move into it again. Yeah. Then just now, while I was looking at the retreat, where our retreat is coming, I think in another 4 days' time, we will be preparing for our Friday commencement of our annual retreat, which is the coming Friday. So tomorrow already Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So 4 days' time, I think we will have our retreat starting on the Friday morning. So I need to gather all the items that I need to bring up to the retreat, as usual. Then some of the things that Kanyamita will be sending over, they will put at my place, where the bus will come to my house on the second round. First round is for those staying in Subang, Klang, and other area. They meet at, I think, SS17, which NB has already set the location. Then they come over to my house. Then from my house, we will go from here to Cameron Highland. Then, as usual, we will have our sharing on the bus. And when we reach there, the retreat proper will start. So all this is like meant to be. Then when I was compiling the books that I have to bring along, there are some who may need the new books. Then this Thursday, I think the Singapore group that stay near my house, Small Hotel, they will come over to collect some of the books. Then I was going through my file. I saw one email sharing, which in the year 2018 that I share. That time, I think Kayamita didn't know what that thing is. In 2016, I started the Bodhisattva Way. Maybe this time around, I may share that part. It's about the four circle formation also. But at that time, because of causes and conditions at that time, I went into it quite detailed during the sharing. Then I actually break it up into a full scope diagram. So not only from the source it come to the true mind, then supposed to be the mundane mind and the phenomenal world of consciousness. But that mundane mind, actually I elaborated on the whole cultivation movement. Well, from the mundane mind you start. after you cultivate, then somehow I think we managed to I managed to explain it. Then one of the Kayamita, I forgot who already, he draw out the schematic and try to develop the understanding. Then I look at it, I edited it because a lot of the things were not clear. Then after I edited it, surprisingly, it come out to be very beautiful. Because from the five aggregate of form and maya, the human being, there is a photo that he draw, which is very beautiful, with all the human being there, all the we call it human being, we are our rhyme is the human rhyme. Then from there, how we develop the cultivation, yeah, and transform and become like to develop all the stages of cultivation until we have the wisdom to transform that mundane mind into the supramundane mind, the enlightened mind. Yeah. So this supramundane mind is different from the true mind. Yeah. This one last time I explained before, but hardly anybody understood or know what it is. Yeah. But it's in the chat. Maybe later on I will try to get the email if I can get it out. Then I send to Sui, ask her to do it up. Because that one was the it's very complete but very crude, the arrow everything or beyond that time I think we were not good in IT. Yeah. So now she around, I can ask her to do it out. That one is very useful, very helpful. Then this retreat I will share it. The supramundane mind up there. Then how the cultivation from the five spiritual faculty, if we develop the cultivation up to his fullness transformation, and then the phenomenal consciousness also. So all this become very different again. So I realized actually in 2018 I already explained that, but hardly anybody was ready. But luckily, that sheet of paper was still around. Yeah. And I suddenly saw it. Then I will try to look for it in my email. I hope I can find it. Then I pass to Sui. Otherwise, I give her the hard copy. I think she can do it. Yeah. Well, the mind map also she can do it. Very big piece. So this one is only one A4, but very detailed. Very detailed. Then if it can be ready before the retreat, that will be very useful. So this is the reason why the teaching will move on its own based on causes and conditions and understanding. So today's sharing, I think it bring about another level of understanding that Kayamita should develop as understanding as how you can benefit from all this sharing. Because different Kayamita are on different phases of cultivation. And as you move through, those who have gone through the more experienced one, they can share with you all this understanding. I remember the first few that share was Chin Hao they all, Alicia they all, then also Ying Bi plus I think at times Man Yuan also, then Chin Hao, and many other Kayamita, even I think Sui An they also they know. Yeah. So all this, as people listen, they develop more understanding, and when you have the faith, you progress. Then what we actually can see, yeah, from all of those that we have developed as understanding after the website came out. Initially, it's all the recording. Then we have the transcript. Then we have the what they call various books. Then now all these phases are in place. Then we have the website, which started in January, February, I think, 2017. From there, in fact, the last 6 7 years, the website has evolved and become very, very good. And all this YouTube sharing, plus our class sharing, and all the short video that you all have done, has helped a lot of people to develop clearer understanding. Because what has been shared is actually a lot. And a lot of them, I think, we didn't really have the causes and condition to retrieve them. We are like those few notes that I saw. They are meant for me in my early days to be used as sharing. And sometimes I just, either in the Tuesday class or Thursday class, I will photostat about 20 copies. Then I will distribute and share it in the class. But sometimes it's not recorded. And sometimes it's not, oh sorry, it's recorded but not transcribed. So a lot of these are actually somewhere, but not really surfaced until I have the causes and condition to retrieve them. So this one that I retrieved was one of them. Hopefully, after it come out, I will try to do it up today and pass to Sui, so that he can still have 3 4 days to do it. By the way, Thursday is our last day before the retreat. That class will be cancelled. I also have to attend to a lot of Kayamita who come and see me before the retreat, especially the Singapore people and others. So Thursday class will be cancelled. Our last sharing will be this coming Tuesday. Okay. Project back to you. Yes.
Thank you, Varatio, for the very, very, how you call that, overall kind of summary, you know, that what
Explain.
Varatio has taught us since a long time ago until now. Actually, for most of us, yeah, we are always looking forward to the Cameron retreat
Yeah,
because
the
there's a
100 years.
very
That's why
yes, very con
I predicted to most of you the last few retreats. I say when you go, it will become different. And this coming one also, it will become very different. And many people will start to develop the understanding. But now, I think this is the second or third year, third annual retreat where we have Zoom. Zoom to share, huh? I think third or fourth, I forgot already. Because the Sampo Temple, we were very lucky they happened to fix the Wi-Fi there. I think the last 2 3 years, the Wi-Fi signal was good. So we were able to do the Zoom. So all these are like meant to be. In the early days in the annual retreat, I remember phone signal also don't have, not to say Wi-Fi. At that time, you have phone, it's like you don't have phone. You need to go to somewhere where there is signal. But then over the last few years, I think the internet speed has improved a lot. Then luckily, Sampo Temple also willing to subscribe for the internet. I think Wi-Fi, they have two, I think, two Wi-Fi application. One for ground floor and one for first floor. So now the signal are strong. I heard from Chin Hao and Sui. So that one will help a lot. Yeah, Po Cheng, you continue, sorry.
Yeah, so at the Cameron retreat, right? I like to emphasize the importance of the cultivation, you know, and also the Bodhisattva vows, the opportunity to take the Bodhisattva vows that will help cultivators of the way to develop more in-depth and also to overcome our karmic obstacles, you know, especially that as we cultivate, you know, in our cultivation, right, we will encounter karmic obstacles in our lives.
That one very true.
So yes, so I find that I mean, for me lah, my own experience lah, I find that without the vows, I don't think we can overcome the coming obstacles so easily, you know,
Yeah,
compared.
definitely.
Yeah,
That's why
so
to break the karmic obstruction to progress is a very important understanding. That's why I say that understanding can help a lot of cultivator on the way to progress. Then
yes.
the other thing that I want to share is I managed to find that copy already. So you have a look. Can you all see this?
Radio, I can
Don't
see
need
this
to
sheet.
see
I did
the.
so actually. I know where it is, Radio. It's inside your website, huh? Under the publication, huh? There is this sheet, not Radio, I ever see before in the past.
Oh,
Yes, it's
inside my
inside there.
publication there.
Yes. In the
Yeah, this
website.
I have it in my computer. Now
Yes,
I look
yes.
at the title, I can recall Surangama Sutta, Tuesday class, sharing at my house. So importance, I put the special Dhamma shared on the 12th of March 2013 from 8:30 to 10:30. That 12th of March 2013 is after I finished the Heart Sutta, then I was sharing the Surangama Sutta. Because Tuesday class requested for, I remember a Hui Rong. Oh, very strange, she requested for you. And because of that, I had to teach the four circle formation because it's from the Surangama Sutta that this teaching came out. So I started by saying on the right-hand side, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Then this is how the direct seeing, to see things as they are, or the transcendental seeing, can develop the wisdom. So to see things as they are before the knowing is the direct seeing. Then after that, when your wisdom reach a stability that you can transcend duality, then you can reach the third level of seeing called the Sajna seeing. Then on the right side is liberation. When you have complete liberation from birth and death, means enlightenment in the here and now, it will lead to peace, love, and joy with a free mind, enlightened living. We are the five spiritual faculties and Noble Eightfold Path. Then we have the Nibbana, source, oneness, true mind or true nature and original nature, etc. Then we have the true mind, which is just aware, cannot come out and live life because this is just the pure awareness nature before the arising of thought or the knowing process. Then after that, we have the human being down there. Then mind is the forerunner of all things. This is how the Buddha described and how the samsaric mind start, the samsara, the movement. Then how it can use the true mind, through its direct seeing, to realize the wisdom. Then meditation, we are, oh, you managed to find the chara. Oh, this is very good. Sister Pojing sent here. Oh, very good. Oh, thank you, Pojing. So now you can see. Now I can share it with you all. Good. We still got about 5 minutes. So just now I have gone through Surangama Sutta, Tuesday class, important special Dhamma, I wrote that. So that time I already shared about 11 years ago. So perception of form is conscious, where is non-perception wisdom. This is the famous quote from Surangama Sutta. This is how you can develop the direct seeing to see things as they are before the knowing. Because this is the true mind seeing. Then after that, liberation, I already explained. Enlightenment in the here and now. This is enlightenment living, leading to peace, love, and joy, a free mind. So you live life, live the enlightenment life via the five spiritual faculties and the Noble Eightfold Path. Then you have the source, Nibbana, move it up, see. Then you have the oneness nature, see. Then the true mind, I already explained. This is the awareness nature. It's just aware. Nothing. It's just a nature. It's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. We are just pure awareness before the knowing, the thought. Then there is this upper circle, I put supramundane mind, but you move it up, see. Shrink it a bit, can I? Shrink it a bit. Some more. Ah, okay, good. So this is the full A4 size paper. So if you look at here, the human being down there, which they managed to find from the internet, a very beautiful picture. So this one, mind is a forerunner of all things. From here, everything starts, the samsaric mind. Yeah, the circle down there. So this samsaric mind is actually the mundane mind that manifests from the true mind. So samsari or mundane mind, this one cling and grabs onto the five aggregates of form and mind via sakaya ditti, and this is heedless living. That's how the mundane mind, the samsara mind, keep on taking birth and death. Then on the right hand side on cultivation, I say, learn to see form, learn to see the unreality of form via understanding them as impermanent and condition arising. Then learn to see beyond form via the direct seeing. So when it comes to mind, also same. Learn to see mind, the unreality of mind, and to see beyond mind. Then through the three universal characteristics, you go up to see and understand impermanence and empty nature or non-self nature of all phenomena. Then seeing them as condition arising, perceived through mental, just an image in the mind, so even more unreal. Then after you penetrate the three universal characteristics, you become enlightened. Then you will become heedful, aware most of the time. So up there, although we have the existential world, the phenomenal world, but that time when the wisdom is together, you can have the enlightenment living. So the phenomenal world of consciousness is down there actually, the samsaric mind there. Then you start with the five aggregate of form and mind at the bottom. Upadana khandas. The human being is being grasped at as the me and the I. That's how the ego start, the utter, due to sakyadity or self-delusion. That anything perceivable by the mind is a mental phenomenon, just like the bullock cart analogy. When the parts come together, enabling it to perform a function, we give it a name and concept. Then the bullock cart arise and exists already. When the bullock cart parts are separated, bullock cart is gone and no more. Hence, its condition arising nature, not so real, not what you think. Then on the right hand, left hand side is mundane living, dominated by the five mental hindrances, the three evil roots, leading to suffering, the external phenomenal world of consciousness, plus the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then from the samsaric mind, how you meditate and become enlightened, you have to follow that square. This direct seeing can develop wisdom. That's why you must, like the Trinity Triangle, from the pure awareness, you go left to develop the direct seeing, to develop the wisdom. So meditation via the silent mind or inner awareness nature to connect back to the true mind. So that is the left triangle. Then from there, it transforms the samsaric mind into supramundane mind up there. So transformation has to happen via wisdom. Then how the samsaric mind or mundane mind cling and grabs onto the five aggregate of form and mind via sakaya ditti, leading to heedless living on the left hand side. So all these are explained there, and this shot is very beautiful. Yeah. And this shot is not in any of the book because it's just a sheet for us to share after the Tuesday class. Because somebody, I think that time was Miss Lee, if I'm not wrong. She prepared the thing, then I edited it, and then I use it for sharing in the next class. So all these are very beautiful notes. Oh, thank you, Po Cheng, for retrieving this. I thought don't have. Okay, good, good. I no need to send to you. You just improve on it. Because that one initially still very crude, I think. Then I see whether I can improve on the English or not. Then later on, we can maybe get it in soft copy. And I print from my printer a hard copy so that I can bring up at the retreat to do the sharing with you all. Okay? Very good. Sorry for the interruption because the Zoom breakdown, I think, just now. So hopefully now we are back. So like I explained just now, I will get Sui to do it up. Then maybe we can bring it up to the retreat for us to do the sharing. Okay, Po Cheng, thank you so much for extracting that copy. It helps a lot. Anything else you want to share or summarize, Po Cheng?
Thank you, Brother Teo, for the additional information. In fact, that particular chart, I've seen it before in the past. That's why I can recall.
Oh,
and I
good.
Know it's inside the website, you know. So it was, like Brother Teo said, it was from the Surangama Sutra.
Yeah, Surangama Sutra, yes.
That they all come up with this particular chart.
Yeah,
that's very beautiful
the
chart.
Website, there are a lot of this type of notes which are not in book form. You need to go and extract it out to learn. Because at that time, what I do is I just print out a hard copy, then I share. Print out a hard copy, then I share. During the early days, a lot were done like that. Then we only managed to compile the Heart Sutta into a full book because it was useful. And Kayamita at that time knew all this Heart Sutta lesson what, that I used for sharing at the annual retreat was very good. So with the feedback, that's why I decided to agree to the compilation. So a lot of Kayamita I have out that time, I remember. Because the book is so thick, 15 months of sharing. So that's how it come to be. Then the rest of the loose notes, like this one that I mentioned, I think we have quite a lot, but I also don't have the hard copy area. Every time retreat, I keep a few. Every time retreat, I keep a few. Then whatever no longer useful, I just throw it away. But this one I happened to find it inside the bag, the very old bag. It was in the 2018 sharing, I think. I saw the program was 2018. So it was together with that one. So it so happened it's still there. Okay, anyway, we will end.
Thank you,
no
Brother Teo. Lots of gratitude to Brother Teo and all the Kayamitas that prepare all these notes so that future Kayamitas can also benefit from it. Thank you very much. Kan'en. Amitofo. Sadhu.
So let us now share merits. Aka Sata Chia Bumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tulo kasasana. Eta wata caamihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe dewa anumodantu sabasampati sidia. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. อิดังเมญาตินังโหตุสุขิตาหันตุญาตโยเดโววัสสกาเลนะสาสสัมปติเหตุเชวิโตภวตุโลกุเชราชาภวตุธัมมิโกอิมินาปุญญังคามินามาเมบาลาสมากโมสัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวนิวานาปาติยาสาธุสาธุสาธุโอเคyou can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay.